John's Gospel, chapter 16, and verse 16, and the Word of God reads, "A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." Then said some of his disciples among themselves, "What is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father." They said therefore, "What is this that he saith, a little while? We cannot tell what he saith." Now Jesus knew they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, "Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and ye will not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall speak no more unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and came into the world. Again I leave the world and go to the Father." His disciples said unto him, "Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee this. By this we believe that thou camest from God." Jesus answered them, "Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. But in the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Let's bow our hearts in a moment's prayer. Father, we ask that today you would bless us in the hearing of your word, that we may know the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, that we have been reminded of his ministry in the world and of his ministry in the believer. We pray that he will work today, that he will take of the things of Christ, and he will reveal them unto us. Father, as we ask the question that Jesus asked, we pray that you would know the answer in our hearts to be an answer that brings glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning about believing on Jesus. In John 16, we have the narrative of the Lord speaking to the disciples. In John 17, we have the great high priestly prayer, where Jesus, having finished speaking to the disciples for the moment, turns his attention to the Father and speaks to the Father. And just as he comes to the end of what he has to say to the believers, he asks them a question in verse 31. It's a question I want us to ask this morning. Jesus answered them, "Do ye now believe?" Are you really sure you believe? Are you really sure you're a believer? I would suggest to you this morning there is a time in the life of every person that lives in this earth that something happens that makes them at least wonder whether there is a God or not. I talked with my father once about what it was like in France during the invasion of Europe. And he told me, he said, "Son, there were people who had no time for God." And he said, "In the midst of the mud and rain and bombs and bullets, they openly and unashamedly cried out to God." It may have been the only times in their lives, but it was a time when they acknowledged God. I couldn't help thinking of 9/11, when all of a sudden we became a God-conscious nation again in the midst of tragedy. But Jesus isn't talking about, do you ever come to a time when you believe in God? He's asking a very specific question. And it's about believing in Him, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just illustrate the difference for you. Dr. Charles Stanley once said in a sermon that if you get up in the open air and you preach about God, you will draw a crowd. But when you begin to speak about Jesus and the things that Jesus taught, they will leave just as quickly as they come. You see, the idea of God is a very vague one, or can be a very vague one, in the minds of men and women. But when you begin to speak about Jesus, it becomes a very personal and a very pointed thing. I have three very simple headings this morning. The reality of believing in Jesus. the requirement of believing in Jesus and the results of believing in Jesus. I could tell you that I wanted to put one more point in, but I couldn't think of another word beginning with R, so I just decided to mingle it amongst the other three. The result of the reality of believing in Jesus must have a beginning. It must have a beginning. And the beginning must be, once I was an unbeliever or a non-believer. If you're going to tell me this morning that you believe on Jesus Christ, then I believe it is necessary for you to tell me that once you did not believe, but that there was a time in your life when you became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is likened in the Bible to marriage and to birth. And to both you're able to put a day and date. You know when you were born, don't you? You know when you were married, don't you? You better do. You better do. I believe it's the same with becoming a believer in Jesus Christ. I've had people say to me, well, there was no real time that I came to be a believer, but I've been a believer all my life. You understand why I have a problem with that, don't you? Because when I was born a sinner. I can't stand the thought of somebody else being born a believer when all the rest of us were born sinners. It's a biblical fact that if you're able now to say, I am a believer in Jesus Christ, you are able to say, there was a time when I was not, but by the grace of God, I am now a believer in Jesus Christ. I want you to note the words very carefully. Do ye now believe? It is a personal question asked by the Lord Jesus to everyone that was present when he was speaking. And I believe it's a personal question that could be asked to everyone in this congregation this morning. Are you really a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not asking you, have you made a profession? I'm asking you, is this a reality in your life? I'm not asking you, do you consider yourself a Christian for any other reason? Jesus says, do ye now believe? At this moment in your life, are you absolutely sure that you are saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? I've said it before, I'll say it again. Faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone. That's salvation. Faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone. There is none other. There have been people who have told me, well, I have not only always been a believer, or I was part of a believing family. I was born in a Christian nation. I don't often quote Billy Graham, but he has a great quote in that. He said, does that mean if you were born in a garage, you'd be an automobile? Does being born in a nation that once acknowledged Christ make you a Christian? Of course it doesn't. Can you become a Christian any other way other than believing personally on Jesus Christ? Of course you can't. So it is essential this morning, not that you answer me, but that you know the answer as you sit in the presence of God, when God looks down and says, do ye now believe, that you are able to say, yes, Lord, I believe. I know that I am saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is something else I've repeated many times, and again I will repeat it as often as I need to. Jesus in John chapter 1, or John in John chapter 1, equates to us the fact that those who truly believe receive. John chapter 1 and verse 11, John speaking, he says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I want you to grasp that. That if you really believe what God wants you to believe, if you really believe in the person of Jesus Christ, that believing is only seen as being real when it brings you to receive Christ personally. The Bible says that Satan believes, and he even trembles because he believes. But he's not saved. He's not saved. And my Bible tells me that to believe on Jesus means that you will come to him unlike the world. They receive him not. Unlike the world, if you really believe, if it is a faith that is given of God, you will come personally and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it we need to believe about Jesus? Well, when we go back over into John's Gospel, chapter 16, the disciples are questioning the words of Jesus. Jesus said, I'm going away. For a little while you'll see me, then you won't see me, then you'll see me again. And the disciples were questioning. And Jesus says, okay, I'm going to stop speaking to you in parables. I'm going to speak to you plainly. I'm going to tell you simply and plainly what I mean. And he begins to tell them about the cross and the sorrow that they're going to go through. And then he tells them that he's going to go back to the Father, but that he's going to come again and they'll see him again. I want you to notice what the disciples say in verse 29. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure, listen, that thou knowest all things. That's a beautiful way of saying you are God. You are God. Now we know and are sure that you are God. And then he say, then they say, and needest not that any man should ask thee by this. We believe that thou camest forth from God. They didn't only say, Jesus, now that you've told us plainly, we believe that you are God because you know all things. Jesus, we believe that you have come out of heaven itself as God to walk amongst men. You know, we call that the incarnation. It takes in the virgin birth. It takes in the immaculate conception. It takes in the sinlessness of Christ. That he is the Son of God who came out of heaven and who came down to earth amongst men. And now we believe, Lord, what you say, that you're going to go back to heaven. And Jesus sums that up in John 17, verse 4. He says, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I spoke on this one Wednesday evening recently, and I said that the work of Jesus was threefold. First of all, it was the work of revealing the Father. And he perfectly revealed the Father. Secondly, the work of Jesus was redeeming a people for himself. And as he looks to the cross, he says, Father, I have finished the work which you gave me to do. What a beautiful title Redeemer is. We sang about it in our hymn this morning. Our brother Mark quoted in his prayer that he has bought us. But if you listen carefully to what Mark said, he didn't just say bought us. He said bought us out. Bought us out. You see, we were lost in sin. We were slaves to sin. We were servants of Satan. And Jesus came down and he bought us out to the glorious liberty of the children of God. And Jesus says, do ye now believe? Tell me, do you believe that Jesus is God? Do you believe that he came out of heaven to reveal the Father? Do you believe that he came out of heaven to redeem a people for himself? John 17 says, he came to give eternal life to them that the Father gave him. And then he says this, and this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You know, in all the religious conversation, in all the religious gobbledygook of the day, Jesus asks a question that's very simple. Very straightforward and very clear. Are you a believer or are you a non-believer? Have you received me or have you rejected me? You remember last Sunday morning, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit was going to come into the world and he was going to convince the world of sin. You remember what sin it was that Jesus highlighted? He said, of sin because they believe not on me. Of sin because they believe not on me. He came unto his own and his own received him not. But unto as many as received him. You know, there are people in this meeting this morning who can look back to a time when they were non-believers. But they look back to the time when they came and received Jesus Christ personally. And that's what they're depending on for salvation. And I got to tell you, that's enough. That's enough in the eyes of God. The requirement of believing in Jesus is that we believe who He is, that He came, what He came to do, and that He is the only one who is able to give eternal life. And that eternal life is given by bringing us into the knowledge of the Father and the knowledge of Himself as Savior and Lord. Now, what a glorious gospel God has given us. What a glorious gospel God has given to us. The results of believing in Jesus, and we've already covered one of them, is that He gives us eternal life. You know, some people think that eternal life begins when we die. But you know, that's not true. My Bible tells me that those who believe on Jesus Christ have eternal life. It doesn't say they will have eternal. Turn over with me to 1 John chapter 5. I've heard a lot of what men say, you know. But in 1 John chapter 5, we hear what God says. First John chapter 5 and verse 7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself, and he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. Now let me stop there for a moment before we get too deep into it and get confused. The Apostle John says, this is the witness that God gives of His Son. That those who believe, and there are those who don't believe. Those who believe accept the witness that God gives. And those who don't believe call God a liar. I want you to grasp that. These aren't my words. These aren't even the words of the Apostle John. These are the words of God. If you believe on Jesus, it's because you accept the witness of God. If you don't believe on Jesus, it's because you call God a liar. Let's go on. And this, verse 11, and this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Now, He's established this is the record of God. And that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. Doesn't say he will have. Doesn't say he's got to wait to the end of life to find out whether he has or not. It says that he who hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Let me say two things about that. You either have Christ or you have not. John says the record of God is clear. If you have Christ, you have life. And if you don't have Christ, you don't have life. Which takes you back into the other teaching of the Word of God, that if you don't have Christ, you're dead in trespasses and sins. But the second thing is this, and I hear people talking all the time, and people ask me questions, and I hear it on the radio, can we know that we have eternal life? Can we know that we have eternal life? The Word of God says, if you believe the record of God, and you know that the record of God is true, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And the question of Jesus comes again, do ye now believe? If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have received Him as your Savior, and you will know that you have eternal life. And we'll come on to in a moment to what that really means. But then in John 16, Jesus says in verse 33 about those who have received Him, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Oh, that we would remember the order in which Jesus puts these words. He says, in me ye might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. So he says, if you live with your mind occupied by the world, you'll live with your mind on the tribulation that's round to bite you. But he says, if you have your mind on me, you'll have peace. Peace doesn't mean there are going to be tanks sitting on every street corner and soldiers with machine guns at checkpoints. You'll know when there's true peace in the Middle East. Those things won't be necessary. You'll know when there's true peace in any place. Those things aren't necessary. But you see, Jesus isn't only speaking about peace between man and man. Jesus is speaking about peace between God and man. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, being justified by believing in Jesus, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean you'll never have tribulation, you know. Doesn't mean you'll never have sorrow. Doesn't mean you'll never have sadness. Doesn't mean you'll never know what it is for God to take you right down into the valleys, into the very depths. You know what it means? It means that even when God takes you into the very depths of despair, in Jesus you still have peace. That's what it means. The Christian life isn't just an easy pathway that anybody can walk. It's walking with Jesus and knowing the reality of peace that He gives. So he says you'll have peace, you'll have eternal life. You read down through chapter 17, he says you'll be my representatives in the world. You'll be in the world, but not of the world, and you'll be different from the world because you love me, and you love my word, and you love my people, and you live not for time, but you live for eternity. You know, that's what happens when a person comes to be a believer in Jesus Christ. The love of their heart changes. Peter writes to a people who have lost everything. They've been cast out of their homes. They've been driven from city to city. The people who are driving them are wanting to put them to death. And Peter says, whom having not seen ye love, and though now ye see him not, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Who is he talking about? He's talking about love for Jesus Christ. Do you think they were the best circumstances the believers were ever in? No, they were some of the worst circumstances they could have imagined. But Peter says, you know what shines out of your circumstances? You love Jesus. You love Jesus. And if you read John 17, it's all about Jesus praying the Father that those who are believers in him would be different from the world, and they would be different from the world because they know that they are loved of the Father, and that they love the Father, and they love the Son, and they love the Word, and they love each other. And my, how different that is from the world around us. But then in John 17, and I got to tell you, this is my favorite verse in the whole chapter. Verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Those who are believers in Jesus Christ are certain of heaven. If you were to die this very moment, and please don't, I know you've got no control over it, but I've had it happen once. I don't want it happening again. But if you were to die this very moment, where would you go? It's lovely. I saw one person say, heaven. I hear a lot of people when I ask that question say, I hope I will go to heaven. Jesus doesn't say, if you believe on me, I'll bring you to the place where you can hope that you're going to heaven. Tell me, if you have eternal life, is there anywhere else you could go? He says, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Is there anywhere else you could go? Is the prayer of Jesus to the Father going to be fulfilled? Father, those who have become believers in me, those that you have given me, my prayer for them, my final prayer, is that they would be with me in heaven. Tell me, are you certain of heaven this morning? I told you before of the lady who sat in a meeting, got up and left. She told me twice she'd walked down the aisle of a church and nobody'd spoken to her. I'll never forget her words. She said, Joe, when you speak on hell, I pray, oh God, I hope I never go there. When you preach on heaven, I say, oh God, I wish I knew I was going there. That night, she fell on her knees in the fellowship hall in Sanford Chapel. She received Jesus as her Savior. She'd been coming to church for 30 years and more. But you know, I've never told anybody this. I was with her the night she died. Her sister was an unbeliever. and right to the very end, Sue's eyes were in one direction. Her expectation was one thing. She was going to heaven. Why? Because from the night she knelt down and received Jesus as her Savior, she knew. You know the amazing thing, when I talked to her many times between the night she got saved and the night she went home, she never once worried about where she was going. She began to worry an awful lot about where the people round about her were going. Were they going to heaven too? Did they know the Jesus that she knew? The Savior who gave eternal life. The question in John 16 is not asked by John. It's not asked by me. It's asked of me. And I thank God by His grace I'm able to say, yes, I am a believer in Jesus Christ. I know that I have eternal life. I know that in the depths of life's experiences, the peace that I have in Him is real. I know that He expects me to be different in this world, to love Him and to love His Word and to love His people. And I know I'm going to heaven. A lot of people that I love that are there. But there's one that I love more than them all. And His presence makes it heaven. His name is Jesus. And He says this, "Do ye now believe?" You know, I've left one word out of the text all the way through. It's the word now. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 in verse 2, God says, "Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation." If you're in this meeting this morning and you've never believed on Jesus Christ, you've never received Him as your Savior, and I don't know, but the disciples said to Jesus, "Jesus, You know all things. You know the heart of every person in this meeting, and You know whether they know You as Savior." The best time to get saved is now. Now is God's time to save. Satan will always tell you, you don't need to do it now. And Jesus says, "Do ye now believe?" Right this very moment, is it going to be the time when you become a believer who reaches out, moved by the Spirit of God, and say, "Jesus, I believe. I receive You as my Savior." Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Our Father, we cannot cause an anxious thought, but Your Spirit can convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. We cannot cause one soul to come to Christ. But we thank You that the Holy Spirit is moving in hearts this morning, that they might even now believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. We thank You that You will perform that work of grace to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.